Thessalonians chapter 1. Tonight we're going to begin a study of God's righteous judgment of the wicked. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. This passage of Scripture makes it very clear that our God, the God of the Bible, the God who is revealed in Holy Scripture, is a God of inflexible justice who will punish all those who die in their sins and reject the gospel, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. If God did not punish sin, He would be unjust. If there were no consequences for sin, there would be injustice. The Bible makes it so clear. The wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but eternal death, the second death, if you don't know Jesus Christ. But God mercifully and graciously, in that very same verse in Romans, says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the backdrop of this passage of Scripture that magnifies the judgment, the awful, terrible judgments of Almighty God, there is an escape valve. If you will repent, believe, obey, and embrace the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of your sins will be forgiven. It will mean that Christ died for them, put them away, justified you completely, made you acceptable before Him, and you're saved for all eternity. You would think that if people had any concern for their soul forever, at all, they would flee to Christ at the very mention of His name and the gospel if they understood the impending terror that awaits them, if they die in their sins without Christ. Since all sin is seen as an offense against an infinite God, the duration of punishment must likewise be infinite and eternal. Because God is an infinite and an eternal being, sin is against Him. So it has to be punished justly. The Bible says in Isaiah 13, verse 9 and 11, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." Verse 11, "And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Isaiah 13, 9 and verse 11. Now, verse 6 here declares that the judgment of God upon those who have persecuted and troubled the saints of God is a righteous retribution for their sins. They are reaping what they sowed. I thought about it. I've read somewhere how oftentimes God will judge wicked men with the things that they did to those that they persecuted. Pharaoh had ordered all the male babies to be drowned. And isn't it interesting that in the judgment that Pharaoh and his armies received was God drowned them in the Red Sea when He caused the waters to come back over them. There is a day of adjustment. Oftentimes it looks like the wicked are of this world and the ungodly are getting away with things and that they're winning and it looks like they're marching and triumphant. But in reality, it's a mirage. Because everything in this life is going to burn up. It's none of this is eternal. But the judgment that awaits them is. And there is coming a day of eternal adjustment, of righteous retribution. Those who hate the saints of God and who persecute the ambassadors of Christ do deserve the judgment of God. And He will pour it out upon them. You ought to read sometime Fox's Book of Martyrs or Martyr's Mirror by Thielman Van Brock and see what the Roman Catholic Church did when they persecuted the ancient Baptists, the Albigenses, the Waldenses, the Petrobrusians, and others. The things that they did to them were so cruel, so hideous. I mean, there are accounts of them taking pregnant women and opening their wombs before every member of their family, taking the child out and just dashing it upon a stone. And God sees all that. Now, they got away with that. They got away with that, humanly speaking. But God sees all of that. And there is judgment coming. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 says, "And when He had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God." Those are people that were martyred. "And for the testimony which they held, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost Thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?'" Those martyrs are asking, "Lord, when is judgment coming for them?" Oh, that's awful. You have to understand, they see things like God does in heaven. And so they believe in His absolute justice like we should. Now, right now, it's a day of grace. As long as people are breathing, we ought to hope and pray for their salvation. Then there's the psalmist would often pray that God would judge his enemies. Since God is holy and true, He must judge those who have murdered and persecuted His people. Now, there are exceptions. Saul of Tarsus. I mean, you read his own testimony in 2 Timothy where he says plainly that he was a murderer and a blasphemer, but God showed him mercy. So there are exceptions to this rule. There are those who have persecuted the saints of God, who are God's elect and who are saved by His grace. Now, in the Old Testament and the New Testament alike, you'll find that the saints of God recognize that God would inflict severe judgments upon those that hated and persecuted His people. The imprecatory Psalms are actually prayers of God's people that are recorded in the Psalms, recognizing His righteous judgments and even asking the Lord to judge the ungodly. Let's look at a few of these. Now, mind you, these are verses that most preachers are scared to death to read. They don't want anybody to think that God's people have ever prayed for the judgment of the wicked. But they have. It's in the book of Psalms. It's in Jeremiah. And we're going to find out that even the Lord Jesus Christ talked about these very things. But look at Psalm 58 and verse 10. I'll do these in order, so just flip along. Psalm 58:10, "The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked." I believe that there's a prophetic element here when Christ comes again with the armies of heaven, and there's going to be a judgment so great that the blood's going to flow. But it says the righteous shall rejoice in that. Look at Psalm chapter 68 and verse 21. "But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his trespasses." Now, that is said in contrast to verse 20, "But he that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues of death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies." Psalm 79 and verse 12. "And render unto our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach, wherewith they have reproached thee, O Lord." You know the reward he's asking for? Retribution. Righteous judgment. Look at Psalm 109 and verse 12. "Let there be none to extend mercy unto him." Read verse 11. "Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that He may cut off the memory of them from the earth." They're praying for God to judge. Look at Psalm 137 and verse 9. Now this is pretty strong. "Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones." And he's talking about
O daughter of Babylon. O daughter of Babylon, verse 8, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Look at Psalm 139 and verse 21. He says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. And then he prays for God to search him. Now Jeremiah the prophet was also found praying for God to judge his persecutors. Look at Jeremiah. And I'm not encouraging you to start praying for people you don't like that God will smite them. Okay? I'm showing you something nobody ever reads out of the Bible. Nobody ever considers the righteous retribution of God against those who hate His people, who are the enemies of the Lord. They're going to be judged, and rightly so. And notice, I'm not making these judgments. God is. Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse 20. He said, but O Lord of hosts, that judgest righteously, that triest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee have I revealed my cause. Therefore thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by their sword. Their sons and their daughters shall die by famine, and there shall be no remnant of them. For I will bring evil upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their visitation. Jeremiah is praying about the judgment God is going to mete out against his enemies. And it's a righteous judgment. Look at chapter 18. And verse 19. You know, I often pray, God, I think of the wicked politicians that are getting away with so much. The elites of the world, the perverts like Epstein and people that were going to his island that are wealthy elites. They think they're getting away with something. And I pray that God will save them, but if He won't save them, I pray that He'll judge them. How many children have been damaged and hurt and killed over this stuff? How many aborted children have died at the hands of an abortion doctor that is making millions at the expense of people, of a violent crime, in my estimation? Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 19. Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that shall contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them and to turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore deliver up their children to the famine and pour out their blood by the force of the sword, and let their wives be bereaved of their children and be widows, and let their men be put to death, let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses. When thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them, for they have digged a pit to take me and hid snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight. but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. These are all imprecatory prayers. And it is a proof that in the Old Testament they believed God would righteously judge their enemies. And you know, that's what Paul's writing about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, that there is a righteous retribution coming, a judgment coming for those who troubled the saints of God. The Lord Jesus Christ also made it clear that those who persecute and murder His people would suffer eternally for their cruelty and their hatred. And Jesus forcefully stated that all those who reject Him as Messiah and Lord would be righteously judged in the parable of the vine dresser in Luke chapter 20, verses 15 through 18. I'll read it for you. So they cast Him out of the vineyard and killed Him. What therefore shall the Lord of that vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And He beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builder rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. God is a God of righteous judgment. He remembers all the deeds that the enemies of God have done against them that are not repented of. They will be recompensed. And I'll close tonight with an observation made by John MacArthur regarding God's righteous judgment of the ungodly. In Matthew 23, verses 13 through 36, Jesus denounced the scribes and the Pharisees and declared without apology that they would be condemned to hell. Verse 33. He promised Chorazin and Bethsaida a more fearful judgment than Tyre and Zidon. In Matthew 11, verses 20 through 23, whose destruction God had decreed in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel. He threatened Capernaum with a stricter judgment than even the grossly wicked city of Sodom. Matthew 11, 24. Jesus declared of those who cause believers to sin, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in Me, it is better for them that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Mark 9:42. In Mark 14:21, Jesus pronounced His own curse on Judas Iscariot. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of Him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. Jesus referred to the events surrounding His second coming as the days of vengeance. Luke 21:22. This is the Lamb of God speaking. And He's saying that when He comes again, there will be days of vengeance against the wicked. He's going to say to those that reject Him, Matthew 25:41 and 46, then shall He also say unto them on the left hand, depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal.
He also taught that there will eventually be a resurrection to judgment for all unbelievers. The resurrection of the damned. Jesus Christ is going to take vengeance on His enemies. And that's what Paul is relating to the Thessalonians. There's coming a day of adjustment. These people that are fiercely persecuting you, who hate you, who despise you, who want to eliminate you, just remember, God will take care of them. We'll stop there for tonight, and we'll take up our study, not next week, but the week after. Next week is the Lord's Supper. Let's all stand.